Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We will be reviewing the news, especially regarding the trucker convoy, which is has been very vigorous today. Quite amazing. There is truly a blockade of the streets. I was worried yesterday on Sunday. Maybe they were taking a break, but there is a major part of Ottawa that is blocked and effectively blocked throughout the day. And on top of it, the protest is being joined by other points of blockade. In particular, one, I believe, in Manitoba. We'll see exactly where it is, but it's a western province where the border with the US is being blocked by a bunch of truckers. And it is being covered by Rebel News. And so it's very interesting because this is leverage. If you can slow down the passing of stuff across the border to the US, then you are starting to affect commerce. And perhaps that's why we see certain politicians starting to outright lie, including Trudeau, totally lying about the nature of the protest, talking about this cocked protest as if it was like a protest of hate. Unbelievable. We'll see some segments there. It's unbelievable that someone can stand in front of a camera and just outright lie in a way that is not questionable, that is anyone would agree that there was no hate. When we look at if you've looked at the videos, you've looked at the streamers throughout the day, you know very well that if anything, this is a very cocked protest. It's amazing how cocked people are in there. I mean, earlier today, there was just a policeman following a queue of like five or six other policemen. And one streamer was following him and he was like, "This guy has a gun. This guy has a gun." And it's like, yeah, it's a policeman. And eventually he gets closer and he realizes, oh, it's not a real gun. It's a gun for sandbags. And so he was like, "This guy has a sandbag." And the other protesters were like, how can he bring this to a protest, to a peaceful protest? And this is the whole story of the double standard here. It's that they've spent so much time calling the BLM protest mostly peaceful. And by any standard, if you want to claim that there was any hate at this trucker protest, you would have to admit that it was a minority, if not like a single individual, maybe. But we still don't know why some individual pulled some flag there. It's most likely just either a lost person who thought to grift this legitimate protest, or it's literally a plant, an agent provocateur, as people say on the regular chat. Yeah, definitely it's something like this. It doesn't look like a genuine trucker, part of that movement, just pulled out a flag out of nowhere. But then, you would have to admit that it was a mostly peaceful protest, even if you were to believe in that flag as being an act of violence, which it is not. But if you were to believe that it's a flag that is carried by some organizer of the trucker protest, you would still have to call this a mostly peaceful protest. But the media are not there, and Justin Trudeau is not there. I mean, look at this.
Nation's capital. I want to be very clear. We are not intimidated by those who hurl insults and abuse at small business workers and steal food from the homeless.
This did not happen. There is not a single one of these cocked middle class truckers who will steal food from a homeless. Are you kidding me? These guys are making tens of thousands, sometimes in the six figures a year. They can afford sandwiches, okay? And they have an endless stream of volunteer women who are like, "Oh, I would like to go bring some sandwich to these truckers." It's like we're not at the point where they would fight with the homeless for food. So what is he talking about? I can't believe you can say this in the mainstream media, not get fact-checked, not even have a little smile on your face, just straight-out poker face, stealing money, stealing food from the homeless.
We won't give in to those who fly racist flags. We won't cave.
So, okay, you got your agent to go in there to fly a flag for 5 seconds, take the pictures, go out. For some reason, this person who was carrying a hidden flag, what was it? There was a swastika flag and then there was a Confederate flag. For some reason, those people were accompanied by a photographer for the media. And who could break the news about this flag being flown at the protest. So now you can say you won't be intimidated by this secret agent.
To those who engage in vandalism or dishonor the memory of our veterans. La statue de Terry Fox.
Listen, it's time to engage with the main part of the protest, and even the cucked Canadian media at this point, even the people who are filtered and who are accepted to ask questions on the phone line, because as a reminder, Justin Trudeau is in isolation, he's totally hiding, and so the journalists must ask their question through the phone. Even them were like, yeah, but what are you saying to the legitimate part of the protest? When you have state-funded journalist being to Trudeau like, you've just spoke for 30 minutes about violence and hate. Okay, but what about the truckers that are actually demanding something? And at no point did Justin Trudeau want to engage on this. He said, we will not back down. It's very loose language. But in any case, he wants to present the trucker protest as a neo-Nazi, hateful, and criminal movement. Meanwhile, a city councillor had a good idea, although he deleted the tweet. Maybe he regretted after expressing it. Ottawa City Councillor launches court proceedings against Canada's trucker convoy, targeting the nearly $10 million in funds frozen by GoFundMe to cover the city expenses. Update, the tweet has now been deleted. This morning, so the guy is Mathieu Fleury. This morning, I have asked the city manager and city solicitor to immediately launch court proceedings targeting the millions of dollars in funds frozen by GoFundMe so Ottawa taxpayers are not left holding the bag for these protests. He explains that he wants to use the money to clean up the city, to do promotion for the city. This is unbelievable. This is straight out theft being discussed on Twitter. The government is having its agents, here a councillor of the city, discuss, hey, should we steal that money from this guy? How is that happening? How is there no Twitter rule violation here? They want to use the money gathered for the truckers to block the city. Instead, they want to use it to pass pamphlets to attract Canadian and American tourists to Ottawa. So yeah, come see our city. It's great. And by the way, this ad was paid for by the money gathered by GoFundMe for the truckers. Absolute nonsense. One moment. So today the protests were quite good. They are starting to be more tactical. They are starting to be more spread out. They are sending various teams, among other things. The truckers are more spread out in the city, and we've seen the streamers, among others, Viva Frey, who is some kind of a liar, I believe. He's been walking on the streets and showing us a lot of the streets being blocked. It was relatively efficient in terms of blocking here. Essentially, the city is on lockdown, effectively, although a small stream can pass for the emergency vehicles. So that's in front of the parliament. That is to be congratulated. And Canadian officials are expecting action are expecting police to take appropriate action as truck convoy blocks US-Canada border crossing. So that's another part. So that's in Alberta, between Alberta and Montana. At least 100 truckers are blocking the Canadian border between Alberta and Montana for a third day in protest of vaccine mandates, and Canadian officials are beginning to freak out. Massive convoy of truckers have blockaded the US-Canada border. So that's there's plenty of them. Now, eventually, with negotiation with the Royal Mounted Police of Canada, the truckers have accepted to leave a lane to simply allow the people who are stuck in Canada and who are Americans to go back to their families, and the people who are in the US and who are stuck in Canada to be released. So they are letting some people pass, but it is an effective blockade, and there has been hot discussions around this among the trucker groups, and some of them were afraid of getting tickets, and one of them said, you know, the worst thing we can get is a ticket for what, being parked on the highway. That's like $100, $200, I don't know. But it was like, you know, we're going to take it, no problem. So they have decided, they have voted together to continue this blockade. So that's the kind of blockade I'm interested in, because the passing points between the US and Canada are not that numerous. You know, it's a finite number. And if you block any of them, you block the circulation of goods that will eventually affect the supply chain in a significant manner. To a certain extent, Ottawa is not the is so useless that you don't have much an effect blocking Ottawa. You do have an effect on the local population, but the fact is Canada can totally operate without Ottawa. That's something that the politicians may not want us to discover, but it's certainly true. If that kind of passing points are blocked, then you're starting to affect significantly the economy, the meaningful transfers between the two countries. This is a comparison of Canadian media in two situations. The BLM protest. Violence by a few mars peaceful protest by many. Rioters smashed in store windows and torched police car with glee in. So that is how they covered the BLM protest. So there were torched police cars, smashed store windows, and yet it was a peaceful protest by many. It was a mostly peaceful protest. Now look at how they cover the Ottawa protest. Calling the Ottawa protest peaceful downplays nonviolent dangers, critics say. Is that the best you got? So, I mean, back here you had smashed store windows and torched police cars. And by the way, you also had people dying. A couple dozen people died in the BLM protest. So here you have people dying, massive disruption of property. I have to go, I'll be back. All right, sorry, I had an emergency to check on. Everything is fine, thankfully. RCMP at the door. No. No, we're good. I have my camera system supervising the environment around the house. I would know in advance if the RCMP knocks. So this double standard right here. Calling the Ottawa protest peaceful downplays nonviolent danger. So apparently now we cannot use the word peaceful because there are nonviolent dangers, such as the disruption to sleep that can happen in leftists who know that their city is under siege. That is a form of violence and it is not peaceful. But torching police cars and smashed store windows, there you can use the word peaceful. How does that work exactly? So let's see. The guys who are at the border in Alberta, surrounded and forced to make a difficult decision, they make a motion and they decide to stay. Let's see what they did here. Oops, let's try to play it.
I'm with you. There's no weakening, guys.
They can
no
leave. They can leave. But the only way I'm leaving is in a cruiser.
Yes.
There you go. You
know what? 100%.
That's right.
You know what?
Who's left?
So who's going to stay?
I'm who's staying.
Who's staying?
Who's staying?
Tactics
are we're surrounded. Yes.
You're
yes. To make
it's
all morale, Alex. Keep up the morale.
You
already started.
I got the ones that want to leave.
If you're worried about funds, a GoFundMe will pay the fine.
We have money.
Alex, they can issue us a ticket for a highway traffic act. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
Bring on the ticket.
All right, I like what I'm seeing here. A bunch of people truly determined to stay. They won't be intimidated, and they're ready to pay tickets if the tickets come in. Still, as of today, the tickets haven't come in. We haven't seen any ticketing. Even the Ottawa police said that they didn't want to provoke the protesters, so they have avoided up to now to give tickets, because technically, I guess, there are some parking violations there happening. That means that eventually they will come to ticket. However, this will come at a significant cost in the public eye, you know, because up to now there is some kind of respect, there is some kind of work in collaboration between the police and the protesters. But when they start giving tickets, the population will see this as being an act of oppression, and we'll see what happens then. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, what will happen if a major snow blizzard hits Ottawa in the next few days? Exactly, that was a subject I wanted to talk about. But before we do so, join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your links, questions, and super chats. It is a very pleasant platform, so join it. Open a tab on the side of the show if you'd like to send support for the show. You can also use the support button under the video on Odyssey and enable the cash option by signing in and setting up the cash option for super chats. It is really appreciated for supporting the show. The big thing that could happen is a snowstorm that brings a lot of snow. If that was to happen, then there would be such logistical problems at getting the truckers out, because you can only de-snow if the road is empty. And so if the truckers start just staying in place and there's snow around them, it would be extremely hard to get each trucker one by one, de-snow a little bit, get some other truckers out. The snow could come as a complicator and as cementing the conflict, making it both harder for truckers to get out and also cementing them in place and making it so that intimidation, even through tickets and other strategies, may not work at some point. So yes, I think it's an important point. I personally pray for snow to come. Rodi Lacid says, forecast is lots of snow Thursday and Friday. Well, we are Monday, so hopefully the truckers are courageous enough to stay in place. Now, I'm afraid that with their good collaboration with the police, that they might actually coordinate the proper de-snowing of the city. But use the snow as a protective agent. That's what I've done all my life. I found happiness within the snow. You can find happiness within the snow too. Don't forget that a Ottawa city covered in snow makes you stronger and makes any institution, any police cars, any of these people are weaker. They are weaker because they don't have your unit of survival. You have a freaking truck with a bed, with a fridge, with heating, and bringing fuel to all these trucks is not super difficult. Someone could go around with a cart transporting a big fuel big fuel tank and furnish enough fuel to just start the truck every 20 minutes and get some heat. Snow is to your advantage, dear truckers. Please understand this, and please understand that when they start asking, hey, can you leave some place for the de-snow operation? Don't let it happen. Just say, well, I'm stuck here, I can't get out. That will have a significant consequence. Update: truckers speak after decision to state their ground. So that was right after the vote that we just saw.
So you guys just came into decision.
Oh, and by the way, before we see this, thank you so much for someone in the crowd who sent a massive crypto donation. You are keeping the show alive, and we're going to be good with this for many weeks. It's amazing. There are some great supporters of JFG tonight, and I'm very thankful. Well received.
Decision there that most of you guys are going to stay, and it seems like the compromise is opening a lane. Is that correct?
Yes, we're going to open up the northbound lane and let the guys that come out of the U.S., we're going to let them go. We're going to open up that lane and let guys go. But they have to open up a lane on their end to let guys leave, because we're actually boxed in here right now. So they did not want to negotiate. So we're going to let that lane go, and then we're going to actually go talk to them and see if they're going to compromise. And
you said the police weren't willing to negotiate?
They were not willing to negotiate when we went down there to talk earlier. There was no negotiations allowed. They didn't want nothing to do with it. So we've read the charter that came in 2020. It says if we open a lane, we can stay here as long as we want. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up that lane. And anybody that wants to leave can leave, and anybody that wants to stay can stay. So this way, you know, it's...
Okay, I had seen this video. I think I misunderstood it. Now that I look at it, I think they're not leaving a lane open for the transfer between the countries. They are simply allowing people from within their protest to leave. So I had misunderstood this, and I have misexplained it earlier. It seems that how he's talking about it, that what he's leaving out is merely the protesters who weren't comfortable continuing the protest. So then that's even better. I mean, there is therefore no circulation through the border at this point. This was a resident exactly where they are blocking the U.S. border. She was waking up this morning and saw the policeman arrive.
So you're a local here, you said. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And can you tell me what you just saw?
Okay, two big black truck tactical units drove by, and a big RCMP truck, and a bunch of cruisers, and an EMS, and also one of the side roads I see is into town is blocked by a RCMP cruiser.
All right, so very good. They seem to be holding on to the intimidation of the sending of the RCMP, and they're willing to take the ticket. So we'll see what happens with this. This is so much more powerful than Australia. That's why when people said, JF, the truckers was attempted in Australia and didn't work, I was like, wait a minute, maybe it's different in Canada, because you have so many factors in Canada. The surface area of the country, the snow is extremely important. It can make everything a logistical nightmare. If these trucks start accumulating snow around them to the height of the freaking truck, you're done. I mean, even if the truckers would want to leave after this, they would it would take days. So this is one of the beautiful things in Canada. Yes, people are talking about YouTube. YouTube has been banning streams today. Related to the truckers. I mean, I was watching a stream, and the lady somehow out of nowhere was like, yeah, you know, they've been doing so much stuff, you know, chemtrails. And I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of the days where I couldn't speak about chemtrails. not that I believe in the thing, but it reminds me that I'm so happy to be out of YouTube, so happy. And as Steven Robinson points out, JF left YouTube just in time. Absolutely. We have a super chat on Entropy. Vladimir sends a super chat. He says, "Hi, JF. 2 years, fan of the show. Thank you for what you do. Do you plan to have Richard Hart again on? He is launching his copy of Ethereum soon. Pulse Chain. A lot of interesting stuff coming." Yeah, Richard Hart is extremely busy. Although I did send him words of congratulation, and it takes about a week just for him to respond to a Telegram DM. So I don't think it's the right time to annoy him. He's marred in technicals and he's working hard. That being said, he did respond eventually, which is great. And so, yeah, I still am in contact with him and I've sent him my congratulations for his platform. I think it's great what he does. And yes, I do have Pulse and I have Pulse X tokens. And so I'm very hopeful that this parallel Ethereum chain will be a success. Thank you so much for sending some support for the show, Vlad. Thomas O'Ward says, "I'm getting hyped. Will the forces of Justin Santa Anna Trudeau strike up El Degelo? I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his own honor and that of his country." Okay, is that a quote? I don't know. I don't know what you're quoting there, but interesting. Elaine, opening up for the locals, the border will remain blocked. So that was the lane opened for the locals and the protesters who wanted to get out. But look at this. I mean, this is a massive line of trucks. This is not movable easily. And in fact, they kind of arrange themselves in a way that it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, especially if you can get snow in there. Absolutely fascinating work here at the US-Canada border, something that hopefully would have an impact on the supply chains. If you don't have an impact on the supply chains, you don't have leverage. Even one of the truckers was stuck in that protest without even being part of it initially, was saying, "You know what, I keep it up. I don't want to be liberated. Keep the protest going." All right, so I thought we would hear him on this segment, but he doesn't seem to appear very much. Thomas O'Ward says, "It's from William Barrett Travis, letter from the Alamo. Texas school children used to study it. Now they don't have time. They're too busy with CRT." Oh, yeah, I mean, Texas is quite disappointing. I had a news from Texas today. You know, federal judge blocks enforcement of Texas anti-BDS law. And I was like, this is awesome, but why do we need a federal judge to defend freedom of speech in Texas exactly? Why is it that politicians are trying again and again at violating as much as they can? And in this case, we need Texas to be saved by the federal government, by a federal judge. Why? Why? Maxime Bernier has been answering to Justin Trudeau here on Getter.
"Through this pandemic, Canadians have seen and have a right to expect responsible leadership. And unfortunately, that's not what we've always seen from the likes of Erin O'Toole or even more Maxime Bernier."
"Hey, Mr. Trudeau, you're the irresponsible politician. Remember what you did at the last general election? You promoted hatred and division in between Canadians. You said that good Canadians are the ones that decided to have the vaccine and bad ones are the unvaccinated one. You know, we are promoting freedom. We want to unite everybody under the freedom umbrella. The end is coming. You are saying that we are promoting disinformation. You did it. You did it in the beginning of that pandemic. Now we know the facts. We know the truth. The fact is Omicron is not dangerous for the big majority of Canadians.
This guy's accent, I mean. Omicron? This could be a comedic sketch.
It's like the flu. So let's reopen the economy. Let's reopen our society. Everybody want to be free in Canada. And that was the message of that weekend here in Ottawa. I was there with them. I was there with them. Vaccinated people, unvaccinated people were with us in Ottawa. Where were you? You were not there. You were not listening.
All right. All right. So good job. Maxime Bernier is joining the trucker protest. Stephen Robinson talks about he wants to send a link on Discord about a free Pulse Chain token. Do not send this. In fact, I'm deleting your message. Any sort of link outside of the official links to Richard Hart's own website should be banned from the Discord because it's extremely dangerous. You never know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with outside projects. They don't necessarily have what they need to honor their promises, and you can be sending people to a website that eventually changes and presents them with a fake address, and they lose their coins. So no, never deal with non-official sources of that kind, Stephen Robinson, and do not post this on our Discord. Thank you. So here the truckers were eating lunch and celebrating the idea that they would stay in this. So it seems that the trucker have a little shack right there at the border between the U.S. And Canada. We've also seen them pray. There was a prayer before the meal. Very interesting. So that's the situation at this most important point of the protest. Totally very far from Ottawa, but in a way so much more important for the follow-up of things. Cartels have operational control of U.S. border, are terrorizing the U.S., says Rep. Chip Roy. I was just looking at this title and I was like, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the cartel of truckers? No, he's talking, of course, about the Mexican cartels at the southern border, which is great. You know, now you don't have to... Now your northern border is blocked by the truckers, so you can now fully concentrate on the immigration issue and the illegal immigration issue at the southern border. So how funny is that our truckers are now freeing some of your agents? You're not going to have any entry at some ports in the north, so now you can concentrate on the south. Unmasked students face immediate suspension from Loudoun County Public Schools. Refusal to wear a mask in school will result in immediate suspension effective February 2nd. A school principal in the Loudoun County Public School District in Virginia told unmasked students last week. William Shipp, principal of Woodgrove High School, spoke. You have all chosen not to wear a mask this week. Essentially, that is just defiant of the rules Loudoun County Public Schools have put up, Shipp said in a video reviewed by the Epoch Times. He told the students that they would face immediate suspension starting from the next school day on February 2nd. If they walked into the school without wearing a mask, the suspension wouldn't end until the students started wearing masks. Man. This place is such a hellhole. What the heck is happening in Loudoun County? This is... I've never heard of this place until it became that much of a leftist hellhole. And now they're harassing their students. I mean, look at the number of students. Those are all students that weren't wearing masks. Was this some kind of a detention? I don't know. In any case, so they will be expelled. They will be punished. where your punishment is you will be deprived of public school. Look at this. This is another part of the same speech of earlier. Justin Trudeau just talking about neo-Nazis.
I know you're wondering about what you saw in our capital city this weekend.
Look at how this guy is talking to the public in such a feminine, condescending way. So I know you've been hurt by what you've seen. Bro, what people have seen is YouTube streams. And in the YouTube streams, you can see the humanity of these truckers and the and everyone was enjoying, and they were even referring to the atmosphere as a peace and love atmosphere. No one was shocked. Maybe some of your media pundits claim that they were shocked. No normal Canadian has been shocked at what they saw in this protest.
As my friend Erwin Kotler said on Saturday, freedom of expression, assembly, and association are cornerstones of democracy, but Nazi symbolism, racist imagery, and desecration of war memorials...
Racist imagery. I can't believe how this guy speaks. In any case, I'm very encouraged by the activity we've seen today by the truckers. Hopefully they keep the courage up, and I don't think that Trudeau can maintain a position like this for a long time. Eventually there will just be too much cost. Dead Star sends me a mention of Styx. Styx mentioned me. Yeah, I know Styx mentioned me in episode 92, referring to the idea that I could potentially lead a Quebec secession. That was an interesting reference. Unfortunately, it won't happen because I'm out of Quebec forever, I believe. I'm so happy. We found happiness in the north, and there is no way I'm going back to this communist place. Carnival sends a Twitter link. It was a leftist tweeting, "I swear to God, if the honking by the Chad Visigoths goes late into the night, I'm going to flip." Chad Visigoths. What does that even mean? Is Visigoth, that Visigoth is a genetic line? In fact, if I remember correctly, Mama JF is lots of Visigoth gene. Is that the Visigothic kingdom was a Western European power in the 5th to 8th centuries? Yeah, exactly. So around the Gauls and the Romans, when the Romans lost their control of the western half. So that's exactly what it is. Well, that is quite Chad. I don't see it as an insult. In fact, I would like to be a Chad Visigoth, part of the Freedom Convoy. And so the meme seems to illustrate what a modern Chad Visigoth looks like when he's a trucker. Ariel Suarez says, "Is that supposed to be an insult even?" Yeah, I think so. Joe Rogan has published a video on Instagram, and he wanted to explain to his crowd his position on the whole censorship issue and on, as we covered it yesterday, Spotify bending the knee to the mob and saying, "Oh, we're going to do some things, and here's our rules, and the rules are so broad that it's not clear what will be punished by this. It could very well be abusive rules eventually. So you have to trust them that they will implement it gently." And Joe Rogan on his video is kind of an apology, but not fully. He's just saying, "Oh yeah, I'd be open to get mainstream voices. I want to have a diversity of discussion, so that's good. He wants to keep having a diversity of discussion, including people who potentially promote ivermectin or who think that's good, think it's good. But he also says, what I'm open to is I could get some more mainstream voices in the next show after, and they could come and counter what has been said. The problem is we've been through this. The result of this is as follows. You invite the leftist. They come. They are unquestioned. They're happy. Then you invite the right winger. They come. And they win the crowd. And by right winger, I mean large. I mean, at this point, I would mean someone who thinks ivermectin might be good. That's like far right today. But whether it's the far right or whether it's the right wing or whether it's the libertarians or whether it's the identitarians or whether it's the ivermectin proponent, it's always the same thing. You invite them, they win the crowd. Then you start re-inviting the left or the opponents of that view, and they lose. And they lose in debate, and they don't have a good argument. Just like Gutpai, Sanjay Gutpai from CNN, didn't have a good argument against ivermectin on the Joe Rogan show. And in fact, he got pushed by Joe Rogan himself. He got cornered a little bit on his statements, especially how his network has pushed the propaganda of the whole or space thing. He looked ridiculous. And so you let the left come. They have their platforms, but eventually they realize that they lose. They don't want to come anymore. And in fact, they get pressured by their own mob not to give a platform to Joe Rogan. And so what we're going to have is Joe Rogan will show openness. He will start inviting official voices, and eventually these official voices will get feedback from their own leftist mob that they shouldn't go on Joe Rogan because it gives credibility to Joe Rogan. And we're going to find ourselves back to square one, where the right is the only voice, or the pro-ivermectin will be the only voice, because they're the only one who actually engage on the issue. They're the only one whose business model isn't built around the censorship of their opponent. So that's why any insufficiently moderated platform becomes right-wing with time. Thank you to the haters. That was one of the comments of Joe Rogan. He rejects the disinformation label. Of course, disinformation is the new horse of the censorship crew of the left, simply because calling everyone a racist at some point, it's hard, especially when you have to start calling black people racist. It's like, guys, we need a new word. Thomas O'Ward, yes, I did comment on my debate on The Crucible. I did my commenting on yesterday's show right at the beginning. Ron Paul says, we're all Canadian truckers now. We all remember where we were when the Berlin Wall came down. While it may have seemed that communist rule would go on forever, when the people decided that they had enough, suddenly the wall fell, just like that. But then Canada stood up and showed the rest of the world that freedom can triumph over tyranny if the people demand it. As I say, no army can stop an ID whose time has come. Beautiful words here, and I agree. It's quite impressive that Canada somehow became the leading peak freedom anti-tyranny movement. Much better than Australia, where there had been a lot of oppression in Australia. Somehow it didn't take off, this whole trucker movement. The U.S., I didn't see any trucker movement, although they're now talking about doing one to emulate Canada. But Canada has just struck the right equilibrium. They have struck the right equilibrium between, on the one hand, keeping a positive outlook from the population and from public perception, and on the other hand, developing genuine leverage. This is the key to a working protest. I mean, who is it, Saul Alinsky, that I think, you know, is saying you need to have leverage. You need to be able to hurt your opponent, hurt in the sense of inducing cost. And so that's what we're seeing. Disclose.tv reveals on Gab, South Africa, those who test positive for COVID-19 but are asymptomatic do not need to quarantine anymore, the cabinet decided. Oh yeah, that's one of the... So see, we see some other countries out there who are being more rational about it. For some reason, South Africa, South fucking Africa is more rational medically than Canada and the US. But that's another thing about Justin Trudeau, you know, he's asymptomatic. So he's hiding in a shack right now just because he tested positive, but he never suffered any symptom. So at this point, what are we protecting ourselves from? What are we, why are we isolating at that level if we're asymptomatic and we're functional? California Governor News, and by the way, like you might say, well, we're trying to protect others, JF, others who might be symptomatic. Well, is it working? How's that working up to now? Up to now, what I see is a virus that is infecting everyone it has to infect. And I don't see any slowing down. I don't see anyone we've saved with these precautions. California Governor Newsom, after being photographed maskless at an NFL game, says, I was trying to be gracious and I made a miss. You know, I was trying to be gracious and took the mask off for a brief second. But no, I encourage people to continue to wear them. The very people who are making all these rules, they are not fully respecting them. Was he trying to be gracious or was he trying to just get a breath in? Which is probably what a lot of people getting punished for not respecting those mandates. They're just looking for oxygen. They're looking to breathe and they do like Gavin Newsom did. They take a little breath or they take a lot of breath. Small caps are already pricing in a recession. Marko Kolanovic is out with his latest buy the dip, Rico. Yeah, so it's a good question whether we are in a dip. As this guy points out, the drop on the markets has been quite aggressive. And there's a good question about whether it can drop more. It can certainly drop more if we are in some massive civilizational event. But if we're... If this is a routine correction, it's already one of the biggest small corrections ever. So, as he says, there's kind of a recession already priced in here. People have already dropped the price down to what it would be if we were in a dramatic recession, but it's not even clear we are. Disclose.tv says a report into Downing Street parties has been published, indicating that, well, we've talked about this news, but now we have the report indicating that a number of gatherings made by agents of the government should not have been allowed to take place. So they were having all these rules against gatherings, but they were also having private parties on government premises, you know, between politicians and other elites. Maybe that's part of why we see the UK stepping back quicker than anyone else, in the sense that they may feel guilty. They may realize, look, we've given ourselves the liberty. Why not give it to the rest of the people at this point? Someone on the regular chat, your nickname is too complicated. I'm not reading this. He says, JF, have you seen the last 10 years growth in the stock market, man? It's completely insane. Oh, it is. It is absolutely insane. We are in a fictitious economy. This is all driven by expansions of the money supply, expansion of the economy in an artificial manner. I didn't see much gain of productivity that justifies this. What I see is mostly a zombie economy that is learning that all it needs to do is follow the beat set by the Fed, and people get rich that way. But this is so fictitious that it causes real problems in terms of genuine advances of the market, because now making money is just a fictitious thing that has no consequences on the real world. So that's totally anti-capitalism. That's totally artificial markets at play here. But yes, it's incredible how much things are gaining value, but it's not true value. It's theoretical value, and it's completely detached from improvements of the world. Millionaire book writer and professional board sitter Chelsea Clinton attacks Substack authors as grifters. Chelsea Clinton wants to talk about grifting. That's just great. The fruit apparently doesn't fall far from the global elitist narrative tree. She says, anti-vax grift going strong. Why is Substack facilitating science denialist ability to profit from destructive lies and comfortable profiting themselves? So Chelsea Clinton, not surprisingly, calling for the censorship. Substack is probably one of the next targets of the left, you know. Substack, they've been annoying to the left. They've not been following the beat of YouTube and those other platforms. Eventually, they will get targeted. I don't know how they will react. I don't hold much hope for Substack. I don't know that they've taken a solid stance yet on free speech, so I have zero expectation. Thomas Howard says, JF unwilling to attempt the name of a fan who comes from the Xhosa language. This is unbelievably insensitive. Yes, it is. I will not deny this. I am absolutely insensitive to the suffering of this man. Oh, and yeah, we're attaining the end of the show. I didn't have much more news than this today to talk about, but if you guys have questions, you know, it's still time to send them in. I had this last news item, which totally breaks my mind. 18-year-old arrested for murder after botched kidnapping plot using Snapchat. This is the face of evil, ladies and gentlemen. So she's been charged with an open count of murder, kidnapping, two counts of armed robbery, tampering with evidence, and conspiracy. They determined that she used social media to lure a man to meet with her in the early morning hours of February 11 so that Adrian Avila, 17, and another suspect could rob him. The suspects dragged the victim from his red Lexus and demanded cash, jewelry, and a gun from him. They entered the Lexus and another vehicle, holding the victim at gunpoint, and drove to the victim's residence. The carjacking suspects ordered the victim to call his brother and have him bring money and a gun outside, or they would shoot and kill the victim. When they arrived at the victim's home, the victim's brother, later identified as Elias Otero, came out of the house and threatened to shoot the suspects. At some point, Avila fired a gun at Otero, killing him in the street. She organized all of this. She was part of the organization. Thankfully, she is she has been arrested. But my God, you have to be careful with the Snapchat lady. You don't know what kind of trouble you're getting into. Talking about woman, I had some woman subject. Oh yeah, Mama JF was telling me that Styx has had his girlfriend pregnant. That's a great news. I'm happy for Styx. It's the right thing to do, Styx. Maintain your Vermont genes somewhere in Europe or wherever you are now. It's worth it. I am thankful for the arrival of a baby soon on the side of the Styx family. It's wonderful to see his pregnant wife or girlfriend. I was very happy to hear about this. Justette says, how do you prepare for debates, JF? You mentioned on the Crucible you would debate anyone, anytime. You even... did I say Vermont jeans? Yes, Vermont jeans. Jeans from Vermont. You know, the cheese state? Is that how they call it? The state of cheese? So you even mentioned that you would even take your opponent's position, so either side of any topic. Yeah, that's, you know, back in the blood sports days, because I was a co-host of Warski, there would be times where we could find one person willing to adopt one position, but we couldn't find someone else to take the opposing side. So at times, you know, I've taken those sides that I may not have taken otherwise, because I wanted to fill in. I wanted us to have a show that can provide you guys with entertainment. You know, even if the left doesn't show, I have to take the spot of the left, because I wanted it to happen. I wanted a constant stream of entertainment and intellectual stimulation for you guys. So back then, for example, I have taken a side of the debate where I was anti-free speech. And, you know, these cases where I take a side of the debate that I don't fully agree with or not at all, it's amazing what you discover. Because I was like, okay, Jeff, you need to find a good argument against free speech. A good argument. So to me, you know, I'm a fundamental guy. I need to find a flaw in the First Amendment. And this needs to be a big enough flaw that it kind of counters itself. The same way I wrote the revolutionary phenotype. It's like the revolutionary phenotype is a flaw in the selfish gene theory. So I was like, okay. And then I realized, okay, I'm going to invent the concept of speech rape. So if you're so free that you can start claiming, hey, JF has done this, or hey, JF has done that, in the mind of a third party listening to you, he's believing that I'm saying this. So you're putting words in my mouth, or you're putting actions on my hand. And if you're doing so, you're raping me. So I said, we must combat speech rape. And I entered this debate, and in my intro, I started explaining what we need to do is deallocate money of the police that is targeted at solving rape. And we need a police that can solve speech rape. And I was like, maybe we can take 50% of the money, put it on speech rape only, and then we will solve problems like journalists writing hit pieces and politicians like Justin Trudeau lying. And when you think about it, it is a big problem. Now, someone would answer, well, JF, defamation. Defamation is not protected by the First Amendment in the US. But the fact is, for public personality, it basically is. The standard is malice, and so actual malice. So essentially, a journalist can lie about a public personality with all protection from the First Amendment in the US. That's a problem. And it leads to speech rape. So yes, your question about how do I prepare for debate? To be honest, more and more, I don't need any sort of research or preparation. It's really in the structure of my mind. I'm like, what is my pillar here? So for example, the debate on God. Well, I knew what was his position because I had read his blog. So I knew that he's going to make a case that God is necessary for the link between the immaterial world and the material world. And I knew that my pillar was the immaterial world doesn't exist. It's made up of the material world. It's all emergent. And I knew that all of his points could be addressed by this single sentence. So I'm much more focused on this single sentence and it runs in my head. And then I can start internal arguments with myself in preparation. But most importantly, it's know your basis, know your center. And really the rest doesn't matter all that much. Your mind will wander randomly as you reinforce your pillar and you're like, the immaterial world is made of the material world. There is no such thing as the immaterial world. Eventually, your mind starts wandering exactly in the right direction. And most of the time, my mind happens to wander in exactly what the opponent will tend to do. So I kind of have this internal programming that's able to start attacking this center belief and start developing hypotheses about what my opponents will say. That's how I prepare, just lying on the bed, just thinking while I drive, while I do errands or stuff like this. It's nothing else than this. If I have a factual-oriented debate, then it requires a little more research, but that's just Googling and finding the links. Alexander Marcotte 777 sends a link. He says, Justin Trudeau tested negative. He was with someone who tested positive for some time. Well, that is news from 3 days ago. However, Justin Trudeau has said today that he has now tested positive. But yeah, initially he went into quarantine because he had been in contact with someone who tested positive. Probably his children, because he was saying that his children had COVID also, so maybe it's them. Just that says, so JF's internal arguments occur during the debate, kind of like reading our chats while he speaks here on the show. Yes, that is true. I'm a live processing guy. I'm a machine built for live performance. By the way, talking about debates, we'll have a guest right here on the show. He is coming Thursday. So we already had scheduled Bill Gates on Friday. We're going to talk about the ropes. But Andrew Wilson from The Crucible is coming on Thursday. That's in 3 days from now. I want to interview this man because he often shows as a host in his own thing, you know. But he's an international man of mystery to me. He is very bizarre. He seems to have been a big fan of blood sports, and he leads what I think is the best incarnation of kind of the modern redo of blood sports. He is leading an intellectually consistent show and very solidly neutral in his, not as a person, but solidly neutral in his offering of a platform for debaters. I find it quite amazing what he's built. Yet, you look at the guy, and he speaks about lawnmowers, and he seems to be kind of a philosopher from the streets. What has led to this? Was it some experiment with radioactive material? How did he acquire these superhero intellectual characteristics while also having normie-centered interests such as lawnmowers and chainsaws? This is what we will discover on Thursday. So that is it for tonight, boys. Join the Patreon, the Subscribestar, if you want to support the show. Much love. We'll keep, until then, until we get these guests, we will keep following the news, especially following the developments of the Trucker Convoy. Much love.